This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dan Menigan is in today for Jeff. Daniel?
Yes, sir.
All right, just making sure. Are you excited? I'm pumped.
Oh, I'm pumped. Why wouldn't we be? So
we have two former Indians, right? I can't say Guardians to you, can I either? I just want to make sure. Are you good if I don't say that? I want to make sure I'm saying you don't want to be called Guardians, do you at all? I just want to start there.
We say Indians back in Mississippi right now.
It's still all right. It's still Indians in Mississippi. Matt Miller's here, former reliever, and Ben Broussard, former power hitter. I think you have some kind of record with pinch hit home runs somewhere along the way. But last night you did the post game show. I thought you did a great job. You a little nervous last night, or how'd you do?
No, it was great. It's something that's totally different. So I really like it. I've done a lot of stuff, speaking and doing music stuff and, just being in front of people. But, with feeling kind of like a zoo animal, with everybody just walking around yelling at you and wearing your jersey. And then you're right in the middle of, something that you need to say, and someone's in your ear and they're pointing at some camera that you're going to look at.
It's weird being on the other side, isn't it?
It speeds up. It's kind of like, it's a lot like baseball. You got to figure out a way to kind of slow it down and really collect your thoughts and make your point.
All right, let's get everybody up to speed on what you're doing now. Matt, we'll start with you. What's going on with you in Mississippi still, and what's the word?
Yeah, I'm on the amateur side of baseball now. I'm the state director for prep baseball Mississippi.
Look at him. He looks like a president now, does it? President Miller, tell us what's going on with this.
I enjoy it, man. It keeps me in the game. It kind of acts as a liaison, I guess, between high school coach players and college coaches and maybe a few pro scouts. So I enjoy it. I just kind of went through the whole process with my son, who's kind of works with Ben a little bit. So I'm enjoying it, man. Retirement's been good. It's fun to stay in the game and have a small part of watching these kids move on to the next level.
So, I always loved I love both your stories, but I love your story, especially for a city like Cleveland, where you spent all those years in the minors. You didn't get here till you were, what, 30, 31?
31, yep.
31 years old, and I like, how do you make it in the minors knowing that you're trying to reach that goal, but it's far away, but it's not so far away? Because right now the Guardians have a lot of guys that are coming up. It seems like the system's pretty good, and they're going to be pushing these guys that are up here right now.
Yeah, it was fairly easy for me to stay in the game at 30. I would go play winter ball and help make ends meet as far as, salaries and stuff. So I always decided, and my wife, thank God, Mandy was on board.
Yeah, he married up. Both of us married up. Yeah. Let's be honest. Let's be honest.
We did. Thankfully, she was on board, and we just decided that I would play until I didn't have a contract. And luckily, with the Colorado Rockies in 2003, got my first taste, and then got sit down pretty quick. But it left a little a little fire in my belly about trying to get back up there. And then, fortunately, the Indians saw something that most teams didn't. And it allowed me to get back here at 31 and stay for a while until I kind of kept running into those problems with my elbow.
So. Hmm. It's weird. You pitch exactly 100 games.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly 100.
I'm glad I got to that number, too.
Isn't that cool, though? You can go into syndication. If you were a TV show, you could. All right, Ben, what are you up to? And I know we talked to you a couple weeks ago, but let's get everybody up to speed on what's going on with you.
Yeah, I work with a lot of different hitters from 16 years, to guys that are retiring from the big leagues. So it's been really cool just trying to be a veteran, a voice, somebody that's gone through it. And then I was able to work in player development after the game as a hitting coordinator, and I did a lot of mental skill training when I was with the White Sox. And I use that with all these guys. And so I use my stories, I use my mistakes, and I'm real honest. I just tell guys, like, hey, man, I made these mistakes. Don't make these mistakes, because I felt like I left a lot on the table when I look back. I mean, I think we all think that, hindsight's always better. But, when you have the chance, these kids look up to you. And then you can actually help them simplify like hitting and the art of hitting, because that's the thing that, there's so much information out there at their fingertips, and it's great, but it can also like paralyze you. So, being able to say, hey, these are the three important things for you to be thinking about when you're going up there, or like, hey, this is a way for you to prepare for the pitcher, instead of going up there and thinking about like, five different percentages that he might throw that pitch, because some kids do that like it's a video game. Mm-hmm. I said, that's not how hitting is. And, I just tell them stories about being with Jim Thome, and, stories about Manny Ramirez and David Ortiz and Edgar Martinez and all these great hitters that I got a lot of time talking to and just picking their brain. And then even like Eddie Murray, when he was here, he gave me a lot of really good stuff, just how to slow the game down. And I just try to transfer that, and pass the torch along.
So from what you're dealing with, Ben, and then also to Matt as well for it, since you guys are helping out kids and all of that stuff, how much analytics are you guys using in this? Or are you telling these kids, like, hey, flush that stuff and trust your instincts?
No, we definitely, like, as far as the group that, like, all the guys that I work with, it's very important to them. So, I use the things that I think are most important, like slug and damage and helping those kids understand, like, where do you do damage? And then also like where they chase and what pitches maybe that they hit on the ground and causes them weak contact. But then sometimes it's a mechanical thing while they're having that weak contact, on something down in the zone. So I'll go through some drills with them and try to help them figure out like ways that they can be more adjustable at the plate, because, some guys are just kind of all or nothing on one pitch. And I think the toughest hitters are the guys that, can spoil those pitches, like the other night when our guy, spoiled a bunch of pitches and then hit the 3-run homer to tie us up. I mean, we lost later, but those are the kind of at-bats that you're striving for with these young guys.
Matt, how has the game changed for kids coming up right now? Because you're working with kids right now. I can't imagine. I don't know what kind of pressure your folks may have put on you or your folks might have put on you, but the game, to me, has changed drastically as I've watched, I watched our son go into travel ball and then eventually just kind of walk away from it, because you get into this pressure. And then if you want to play other sports, and it's, and I'm just, there's a great site on Instagram. There's a woman, she's called Volleyball 207, and she is hysterical talking about sports parents and what's going on with there. So tell me how the game has changed from a youth perspective to where you, you went from youth all the way to the pros, and now you're dealing with a lot of youth and trying to make sure these guys have the right perspective.
Yeah, I would love to know what my spin rate was. I have no idea what my spin rate was, but I felt like it would have been pretty good. But in all of the events I do now, we have all the tech packages that you could ask for. We have a TrackMan. I carry TrackMan to every event. We have blast motion sensors. We have Evolved performance system. So it's become so much about numbers and metrics and analytics that sometimes they forget that has to transfer to the field for you to become a real baseball player. And there's a lot of people that scout off of those numbers,
Right.
But for a kid coming up, the numbers have become such a big part of it. And I get messages from dads all the time about, hey, he hit 88 on the gun, or he hit 105 on the exit velocity. And that's great. It is. It's great, because there are numbers we look for, and you can do a lot with those numbers. But at some point, it has to transfer to the field. And I'll be honest, the part of the game that is the hardest is that transfer to the field. Just using Maddox, my son, for example, there were times when, you know, I played in the big leagues and he would come to me and I didn't have answers for him. So he would get on the phone with Ben, you know, which was awesome for me because I knew there was somebody out there he could trust that would, you know, that would get him through some tough times mentally on the field.
Right.
But he had the metrics, you know, he had the numbers, but somehow it wasn't quite transferring to the field or we go through slumps and he needed guys like Ben to kind of help him through that. And, but the game's changed a lot. Numbers matter more than anything, it seems like right now. So I hope we can kind of phase out of that or at least balance it out.
Is it fun still? Is it fun? Is it fun for the kids? Because I mean, both of you guys are dealing with kids, and I see kids that are like 5 years old that are dressed like major league players, and their parents are freaking out because Game Changer, the parent who's running Game Changer is wrong, and oh man, I'm like, you're 5 years old, and by the way, the umpire who's maybe 12 didn't wake up this morning saying, you know what, I want to stop your kid from going to Delta State or from going to the pros, right?
I think it's fun, but it's dirty.
It's not the same fun, is it?
Well, I like it because I feel like there's just so much low hanging fruit when you're talking to guys because a lot of the kids are thinking about, you know, something they saw on Instagram and then I'll just ask them, you know, questions and try to vet that source. And I'll say, okay, so why are you doing that? And he's like, I saw this, it helped this guy. And I'm like, well, how do you know that guy helped that guy? He's saying that. Well, he said it. And I said, all right, well, what's his track record? Did he play in college or, you know, and that's to not take anything away from people that didn't play college. Cause I've met like brilliant people. But the whole point is like, hey, guys, be careful before you go and just start listening to people, you know, kind of have like a circle around you, you know, especially as you start getting older. But I like the challenge of it, the puzzle of it, because I think these kids are sponges like we all are. And when you can connect with them and everybody's different and you figure out a way to connect with them like Maddox, you know, I use like the predator and the prey. And I talk about you're either a wolf or you're a rabbit. That's it. It's black or white. And you've got 100 times a day to pick who you're going to be from the second you wake up, if you're going to eat breakfast that morning, or how you take care of yourself, or if you go to class, and then we're going into baseball, and we start just breaking that down, and the kids realize that, oh, wow, this is how, like, the best major league guys think, because, you know, they fail, they process it, they step back, they make an adjustment, and they go back, and that guy at the box, like Hosey, you watch Hosey, yeah. he's the wolf, right? Everybody knows it. And when he's facing another wolf on the mound, that's where that invisible challenge happens. And it's this tug of war that no one can really see. And it's amazing. And so like, I'll just challenge all those young players out there that, hey, watch Hosey, like watch his mentality, watch what he does when he fails, like watch how he shakes it off and makes an adjustment, you know, and I just love watching that with the really guys that are older, and I try to point young guys to like, hey, keep looking at these older guys. Like you guys are getting to watch one of the best players in the game every night. And since I've been here, I'm just sitting there writing down things that I'm like, you just don't see from superstars that he does. And it's, I kept saying, you know, on air, it's like osmosis, it's contagious. Like when you're a young player, you want to be like these guys. And so you just start looking at everything they do and kind of copying them. So I think that's the best thing for our young guys is just watching Hosey every day.
Matt, what goes through a guy's mind when he's on the hill in the big as a reliever? Because Dirk Hayhurst, who's a Cleveland guy that played for a while, did some TV in Toronto, wrote a book called Bullpen Gospels, which was like one of my favorite books. Because, I mean, obviously I spent a ton of time with you guys when we were on the road, but like that book kind of put me in your shoes to try to, and he talked about the Grim Reaper all the time, the baseball reaper that's in your head and negative thoughts. What's that like when you get they call the bullpen and now all of a sudden you're running in, you got to come in and you got to pitch?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. You know, the at one point in my career when I felt like things were going really good, the thought process was really minimal. I remember, you know, Louis Isaac was our bullpen coach, and I remember not even paying attention to the game most of the time till like the fifth inning. And then it started to kick in. You start to pay a little bit more attention, kind of watch the lineup. And, you know, back then I could face, you know, one righty if I needed to. Now things have changed. But for me, I went through phases. If things were going well, I wasn't thinking about anything. You know, I just was trying to make my pitch. I felt like my stuff, you know, played. I was going to get a ground ball. I knew that was what was going to happen. A lot of kids these days, I think, hope. You know, I knew. To me, that was a big difference between hoping and knowing. And a lot of kids throw a pitch and they hope they get an out. There were moments where I threw a pitch I knew I was getting an out, you know, and because I knew I was, I just trusted my stuff and my, you know, being prepared. But, and then when things were going bad, it was, you started getting away from that and you started thinking too much. You know, I was not a guy who thought a lot. I remember sitting in our meetings that we had with about the opposing team's hitters before a series started. And Carl Willis was running those meetings, and I'll be honest, man, I was probably wasn't paying attention. I hate saying that, but I wasn't going to change my approach to a hitter based off what somebody else said that hitter's strengths were or weaknesses right. were. So, for me, it changed. I went through different processes. When things were going good, I wasn't thinking much. When things were going bad, I was probably thinking too much. But I would imagine there's a lot of kids out there and players out there that go through the same battles. We each have our own process, I think.
All right, Matt Miller, Ben Broussard, they're both in studio. They're going to come back here in a second for a second segment where we talk to them. I want some good stories now when we come back about being on the road, being teammates, and who's a good teammate, who's not. So stick around. We're going to get into that. We're going to talk about the Browns a little bit later and Ohio State football. 216-474-0092 a little bit later down the road if you want to hop in on the show. Baskin and Phelps with Dan Menigan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Former Indians Matt Miller and Ben Broussard are in the studio with us right now. We kind of talked about how you guys got here, talked about what you're doing right now, especially working with kids. Let's talk a little bit more about just your experience, what it was like with you, what it was like with the fans and your teammates and the teammates that you keep and continue to talk to. Ben, by the way, is also doing, are your post game all weekend this weekend?
Yeah. That's
right. Okay. So you did post game last night and did a great job. I thought, did you watch him last night, Matt?
Yeah, I did. I thought he did great.
Stud, man.
He knows I'm his biggest fan. So it was cool watching that.
Do you guys still talk all the time? I mean, you said your son's there, and what teammates do you still talk to?
Just the guys I run into that are still in the game. I see them a lot at different events. And then, you know, through, Matt, we see each other quite a bit, so we talk on the regular. And, you know, I see Cliff Lee. I've seen him quite a few times. And Jason Davis and some of those guys, I see him. We'll all go hunting together in Arkansas or Illinois. So we've had some good trips over the last few years.
That's awesome. So are you just catching up with the same group?
We go on vacation and stuff. You know, we went fishing a couple years ago in South Texas. We've been to Costa Rica together. Being working with my son Maddox, I saw Cliff several times. But Jason Stanford, I talked to him a little
Stanley
bit.
Stanley joins us several times too. Week.
Mostly Ben. I tell kids all the time, you know, pro ball was awesome. You know, I played 13 years, but Ben's kind of the one guy that, and then a guy named Mike Colangelo. I don't know if you know, you guys know that guy, but those are my two favorite friends from baseball. You know, I still hang out with a lot of my college buddies, but But in pro ball, you know, Ben's pretty much the guy I hang out with the most and get to see the most. So
I think it's kind of a misconception when you're a fan, because when you're a fan, you're like, oh, those guys are teammates and they're going to be friends for life and they travel. And it's really, like I remember my first year when we were traveling, somebody got let go. And I looked at Matt Underwood at the time. I was like, and I can't even remember who the player was. And I said, Matt, can you believe they let so-and-so, they sent them back to Buffalo at the time. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, don't. And he was like, dude, it happens every day. And so do you think it's a weird misconception for fans?
Well, I mean, baseball families in general and baseball players, we all have to learn to say goodbye, and we have to be able to get closure and move on. And you're on a new team, new teammates. And so, you know, me looking back, man, I moved 55 times in my career, I think we figured out. And so my family's real used to, you know, moving around. Matt was talking to my youngest daughter last night, asking about like where home was. And, you know, she's like, well, I spent the most time here, so this feels home. But really, home's just kind of like where our family is. That's how we always have been. And so baseball players are really good at that. But then you'll go and, you know, be with someone for a few years that's not used to that. And then you leave and you can see like how hard it is for them, because they're not used to having to say, man, am I ever going to see you again? And for me, I'm just like, oh, I'm just going to a new team. That's what it feels like. So I think that's just something you learn to survive, because I think if you really like put so much into it, there's so many things that are kind of chipping away at you mentally, and you just have to figure out, you know, how you can be strong and be a good teammate. And, you know, that fraternity of baseball is amazing. So when you see those guys, it's great. You know, I see Jim Thome occasionally, and he'll come up to me and give me a big hug, and I'll tell him the story. We talk about Pedro and, you know, how he saved my life that day when he told me to look for the fastball, you know. And And he starts laughing, and he's like, man, you know, that's what a lot of people need to remember, you know, hit what you hit best. And that's what I'm constantly going back to kids with, is like, hey man, what do you do best? You know? And then that guy's got to throw it there, you know? And it's cool. But, you know, once you get out of the game, you know, just trying to figure out how to, you know, get into society,
it's hard. It's
and you're not, just different. I mean, you know,
no one's picking up your bag everywhere you go. You're not, you know, you don't have, TSA is like 2 seconds when you're a pro athlete, and you're hopping on a plane that's going exactly where you want it to. And it's not, I think
there's an overwhelming feeling of, especially after you've been out for 15, you know, now that I've been out for 15, 20 years, it's an overwhelming feeling of how unimportant you are sometimes, especially at baseball games, you know, because you've been to the highest level where all these people want to get to, all these kids want to get to. And so most of the time it's, you know, you're forgotten. And then when you decide you want to give some input, it's like your input doesn't really carry the weight that it did at one time. So it's a weird, you know, spot to be in. But getting back to like the, you know, former players, I find myself Googling guys just to find out what they're doing,
right?
You know, these days. And a lot of them, you can't find any information on. So it's kind of like, man, this kind of, that guy was in my clubhouse next door to, I mean, he was a locker mate next to me, you know, for 2 years, and now I don't even know where he's at. You know,
there's a good reason some of them are in witness protection too, so that's okay. give me your recollection, just your thoughts as the fans here and what it was like, and because you guys both came in after the 90s, and it was, you know, it was a weird transition time too, because the guys that had been here were the guys that basically rebuilt the franchise when they moved into the ballpark. And you guys were that second generation. In fact, I remember like CeCe was that guy that kind of was a holdover that was still here for all of you guys when you got here, but he was with all the other guys that became household names, especially when the Browns weren't here. And I remember looking at CeCe one day, and he looked at me and he goes, Andy, who are these guys? Because it was, the whole clubhouse had changed. So just what was it like for you with the fans and the whole experience?
Well, the fans were great for me. You know, I was a middle reliever. A lot of them, you know, like I tell people now, you have to be a really big Indians fan to remember who I was, you know, 20 years ago. So, but when we were here, my family was here, me and Mandy were here. We were a young married couple. It was an awesome experience for us. Not very many times we get recognized, you know, out to eat or, you know, in a gas station or anything like that. But when we did, it was cool. But I know that some of these guys, you know, that I invited Travis Hafner out to eat one night, and he came into a restaurant bar, and I think it was Ironwood Bar and Grill.
Oh yeah,
I love the place. Well, he came in 30 minutes later. Him and Amy had to leave because it was just, you know, they were fighting, you know, having to take pictures and sign autographs, stuff like that, which I get it. I understand that. But for me and my experience, it was great. You know, I had a select few fans that I saw every time we'd walk out to the park, and It felt like they were kind of like my, that made me comfortable, you know. So it was a great experience for me. I'm sure it was a lot different for guys that were, you know, like CC and, you know, but for me, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, we should have Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift call you because they're going to be here. By the way, I mean, Travis and Jason probably watch you guys all the time coming down to the ballpark because they were young when they were driving. I just think about that. Well, wow. And we were talking a little bit about that House of Blues thing that you did because, I mean, that was a cool experience. And it was, I don't know that anybody else is ever done that, anything like awesome. That.
Yeah, there was a lot going on too during that time. I just had, you know, we just had our first child. And then when I came back, you know, I was fighting for my position. I was kind of having a down year. It was a big year for me. Like if I was going to stay with Cleveland then, or, you know, what was going to happen. And so that night, you know, I got that chance to go in the game for defense. And then we go into extra innings and I get a chance to come up to the plate. And it was right at the time when this CD release party was going to happen at the House of Blues. And all the guys knew about it because we were all going there. And I never did this as a player, but I remember I looked at everybody on the bench and I was just like, man, I'm going to win this thing because I got a concert to play. And they started laughing. And then I just walked out and they bring in some nasty lefty and he hangs a slider, you know, and I hit the home run. And I remember I'm just coming around the bases and there was so much going on as far as, you know, like, well, maybe this will get me back in the lineup, you know, and then up the music side. And then we're really surging as a team. There was just a lot. There was a lot going on. So I know I didn't have time to shower. I remember I'm doing an interview and my newborn's like it's like rooting on my neck because she's hungry. And I'm trying to get out of there. And then I go to this, you know, amazing venue and I'm walking in and I see this line that's going out down the street and around the corner. And I turn to somebody and I'm like, what's this? And they're like, they're all trying to get in. And I'm like, what? Because everybody from the game was so fired up and they're all walking back to their cars. They just all went to the House of Blues. So when I walk in, it's sold out and they give me like a 5-minute standing ovation. It's so loud that like I can't even like plug my guitar in. It humbled me. You know, I'm just sitting there like, man, because, you know, I've been sitting on the bench kind of waiting for my chance.
Right.
For 3 or 4 weeks now. And just the way that all came together and with my teammates. And then, you know, I put on this little concert and then we all hang out. And the best thing, you know, I go home, then, you know, wake up the next day, go to the field, and Wedgie calls me in the office, pulls me in and closes the door. And I'm like, oh man, what's about to happen? And he's like, hey man, you're my guy. And he said, just go out there and do your thing. And then they let me play and, I got hot and did really good and stuck around Cleveland for a few more years. But you know, it was all that night, I think.
How much of it was manager call on things that were going on and how much of it's front office? Because now I think it's a lot of front office and a little bit less. I've had, like, Brian Anderson talks to us about this all the time, about calls that are being made throughout the game. Either they're pre-planned from the front office or everything's coming from the front office. Just talk about how that part of the game has changed.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely changed. I feel like it was more collaborative of – you know, I felt like Wedgie was really fighting for me. He was a guy I had in AAA. And, you know, I had a lot of growing up to do myself. And I was trying to find myself as a player. And I think the organization was really patient with me. And so looking back, I'm glad that they gave me all those opportunities. But, yeah, the way it is now, I mean, they definitely do a good job. It's just different. You know, I don't think you can get stuck in saying it needs to be like it was 20 years ago because I think there's probably some big advantages to the way they do it. They're not so siloed off. You know, everybody, it's like a village. You know, you got guys coming in and helping in different ways. And before, I remember it was like you could only really talk about hitting with one person, you know. Mm-hmm. And Carl Willis, we talked about that the other day, how he was different and he was kind of a pioneer in that because he would come and sit by me and talk to me and ask, kind of calm me down. I remember he was just this, like, this sense of calm for me. But he would eventually start talking to me about how pitchers were trying to get me out. Mm-hmm. And he would just do it in a way that – I'd be like, you know, that's interesting. You said that. And then it would help me with my approach.
I'm looking at it from the outside and not being in the pro game anymore, you hear things. And one thing I hear is that managers and coaches aren't being able to use the feel anymore. They, you know, a gut feel for a situation.
Yeah.
It's almost taken away from them. You kind of hear that from the outside now.
All right. Last point. Carl Willis obviously has spanned a couple generations of think how good is he? And because we don't talk about we have pitching lulls. We don't have pitching problems here anymore.
You know, Carl was great for me. Carl, you know, me being a guy that threw from a lower slot, there wasn't a lot of mechanical things that were said to me, you know, when I got here. If you throw strikes, get ground balls, you're doing your job. And so Carl, most of the time, Carl would come out and talk to me or either before a game or after a game. It was more about just, you know, how to pitch a guy, how to react to a moment, how to get through a moment. It was just a calming. He was really calming for me. So
Matt, thank you. Ben, you're on TV all weekend, Ben?
Yep. I'm here through Sunday.
Are you back again, or is this a one-time only deal?
We haven't really talked about it yet, so this was just kind of getting in, so we'll see.
All right, well, you killed it last night, killed it all weekend. Make sure you're watching him on the postgame show. Guys, it was great catching up with you again, and I always appreciate the time and how respectful you guys were when, you know, we were around just being grunts trying to get interviews left and right when I was doing the pre- and postgame show with Jeff, too, as well. So thank you, guys.
Great being with you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.